Welcome to another episode of our NCLEX review series. In this podcast, we continue to bring you valuable materials to help you prepare for your exam. Enjoy.
Welcome to your substance abuse overview. My name is Regina Callion. I'm just joking. You guys know who I am by now. We're getting into substance abuse. Now, substance abuse is the continued use of a substance to alter a patient's mood, emotion, or state of consciousness. And that it's not medically necessary for the client to take that substance. They're taking it out of a habitual habit. Substance abuse can be chronic, and addiction is considered a mental illness. There are certain substances that are abused, such as marijuana, which is the most common, alcohol, anabolic steroids, narcotics, and stimulants. Out of the list that I gave, I want to focus on two forms of substance abuse that NCLEX likes to hone in on. The first one is alcoholism. Alcoholism is the excessive consumption and dependence on alcoholic beverages. The signs of alcoholism are daily drinking patterns that typically start early in the morning. When a client consumes alcohol, despite the negative effects on relationships, jobs, family, also, blackouts, hiding alcohol from others are signs of alcohol addiction or dependence. Most alcoholics, when they're confronted about their addiction, are in denial and they rationalize their drinking patterns. The withdrawal symptoms that are important is that clients will have anxiety, okay? They will have tremors. There will be nausea and vomiting, as well as sleeplessness. Delirium tremors are an extreme withdrawal symptoms. So with delirium and tremors, you will have the tremors, the physical shaking, but also there will be vital signs increased. Hallucinations, and this can be auditory or visual. The client becomes paranoid. Delirium tremors usually are seen between 12 to 36 hours after the last drink. There are also two other symptoms of alcohol addiction that you need to know for the exam. The first one is called Wernicke's syndrome, which is basically encephalopathy. And that is a fancy medical word for brain damage. And when you drink too much alcohol, you can have brain damage due to a thiamine deficiency. So alcoholics, because they normally have poor nutrition, poor eating habits, they have a thiamine deficiency. So the thiamine deficiency, it will cause brain damage. Korsakoff psychosis is amnesia that is also associated with a thiamine deficiency. So NCLEX can say thiamine deficiency, or they can say B1 deficiency, but Wernicke syndrome and Korsakoff syndrome are both related to thiamine. So how do we treat alcohol addiction for NCLEX-RN? Well, there are medications that you want to know. So let's study the medications while we're talking about the disease process, as you should. That's how you should study pharmacology. So the medications that we can give to reduce the anxiety are two benzodiazepines. That's the class that they fall under. But the medications are chlorodiazepoxide, epoxide, which is a sedative. The next one is lorazepam, which is also going to act as a sedative and reduce the anxiety of the alcohol withdrawal symptoms. Now, there's another medication that acts as an alcohol deterrent medication. So disulfiram, you can give this and it will help to encourage your patient not to drink alcohol. And the way that disulfiram does that is because if the patient consumes alcohol, they will have this severe side effect. And they will begin to be nauseated. They will begin to vomit. The blood pressure will go down. I mean, it will cause a reaction that will be so major that the client will not want to drink again. But one of the teaching points about this medication is that not only does it work for drinking alcohol, but also any other form of alcohol that a client may come in contact with. So when you're taking disulfiram, you cannot use hand sanitizer. You cannot use mouthwash, cologne or perfume, hair dyes, like anything with alcohol in it will give you that severe reaction. So it is a choice that the client will have to make if they want to have this alcohol deterrent. But NCLEX loves to ask about this medication. Now, here's an NCLEX pro tip for you guys. There are also medications that contain alcohol in them, such as warfarin, phenytoin, and amitriptyline. All right. These things will help clients who are addicted to alcohol. Other therapy options are having a non-judgmental attitude and support groups by Alcohol Anonymous. There is no cure for alcoholism, only abstinence. And for your room assignment, patients that are addicted to alcohol or going through alcohol withdrawal can be placed in a shared room with another type of client. All right, we talked about alcoholism. Let's go over opioid addiction. And when I say opioid, I am talking about heroin, cocaine, morphine, or amphetamines. Let's start off by talking about the room assignment. If you have a patient that's addicted to heroin or cocaine, they can be put in the room. They can have a shared room with another client as long as they're not self-destructive or harmful to that client. When we talk about withdrawal symptoms, the withdrawal symptoms of a narcotic or opioid addict are going to be like flu-like symptoms. So they will have a runny nose, fever, body aches. They'll have a disturbed sleep pattern and be agitated. The treatment is going to be really group therapy and counseling. If a medication is given, the medication is methadone. Methadone is another type of narcotic that is legal. Literally, it acts in the same way as heroin. It is just legal. So sometimes clients will exchange the illegal heroin for the legal methadone, and they get it dispensed to them under restrictions. So it's used as a substitute to the illegal narcotic drug. Those are the points that you need to know regarding substance abuse. Let's keep going.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others and leave a rating. We wish you all the best in the coming examination. See you next time.